Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British Lady. Here we go.
There's that wonderful music again.
I have got to get up with John about this. This is getting dumb. Damn it, it's Christmas time. Got to get this one. Appreciate you joining us.
We just had the Nightmare Before Christmas music.
It's the Nightmare Every Wednesday Night music is what it is. God.
Jesus.
You know, because there's a certain amount of mojo that you kind of get built up going into the show, so you don't sound like Ben Stein with the, you know, for dry eyes. You know, you want to have a little bit of a forward motion in your voice, and you know, you get on there, welcome Pop Culture Stars, you're like, God damn it, kills the whole groove, you know. Anyhow, today's date, 11/30/22. Yeah, we're still in 22, one day off from December 1st, which means everybody's got about 24 days left to get all that Christmas shopping done. Of which I don't bother with these days. I simply walk to an ATM machine, drop a couple grand out of my damn account, and I just make it rain with all my family. And then I grab a drink, go to recliner. Nevertheless, kick it around to my esteemed panel tonight while I light my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigar. Oh, and incidentally, got some happy but sad news in the cigar world. My very good friend Eddie, who owns Godfather Cigars, is retiring.
Oh, wow.
So, it's going to be sad to not see him at the cigar shop, but on the flip side, I couldn't be happier for him. And I hope he has a wonderful retirement and enjoys sitting around drinking random fruity drinks with an umbrella in them in the sand and burning cigars as we always have. So Eddie, happy retirement, big guy. Gonna be missed. Faux show. So with that said, we're gonna kick it around the room real quick to the esteemed panel I have with me tonight. Saving the day. They're becoming the brains of the operation because mine are turning into Manwich. Nevertheless, in the fine state, Kansas. Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening, young lady?
Well, I'm doing well. It's been a busy last few days. You know, I recently just joined the American Legion Auxiliary up in Rogers, Arkansas, Post 100. And on the 27th, 28th, 29th, which was yesterday, and today, we did what they call a Veterans Christmas Store. Now, they normally have this at the auditorium at the VA Center in Fayetteville, Arkansas, but for the past 3 years, they have had it actually at their American Legion building because the auditorium has been under construction, and we still don't know when or if we're going to get to go back down there. I didn't get to help with it Sunday, but I helped with it Monday, yesterday, and today. And we had tables set up where a veteran could come in and shop for, you know, like if he had spouse, kids, grandkids, mother, father, you know, he could go two generations up or two generations down and do Christmas shopping for free for him and or her and their families.
Oh, nice.
So we had a lot of vendors that donated items. Prairie Mountain up in Missouri, somewhere. I don't remember where they're at, if they're near Joplin or where they're at in Missouri, but they donate these really nice hoodies and sweatshirts and T-shirts every year. And I was kind of looking at some of them, and I saw the one that said Leavenworth, and I thought, oh, Leavenworth. Well, I was thinking Leavenworth, Kansas, of course, you know, because that's where I'm from. But it was actually Leavenworth, Washington, but it was spelled just the same exact way as Leavenworth, Kansas. It just was Washington instead of Kansas. But you know, they had, and we even had stuff for dogs and cats, too. We had dog treats. We had toys. We had squeaky toys. We had fuzzy stuffed animals that dogs could play with. We had little cat scratch towers. I mean, they were even thinking of the pets, you know. So it was really pretty amazing, pretty amazing. So that's what I have been doing the past 3 days. So
awesome.
I'm glad to be on the show tonight.
Veterans.
So, yeah, I'm glad to be on the show. So.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see things heading towards the veterans, because Lord knows our government doesn't do enough for those guys. And if you've ever been to a VA hospital, you would totally understand what I'm getting at. So, yeah, that's fantastic. Outstanding. Well done, Granny Hulkster. I like that. Gives me a little hope for humanity hearing that kind of stuff. So, I'm going to kick it up to the north. Looking at the map, east from where you're at, Granny. Out there where the alpaca.
The tornadoes.
Yeah. That's true, because you guys had some hairy stuff. No, that was Granny that had the hairy stuff coming through, I think.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a washout there. Oh, really?
Well, it's just really, it got down in the 20s last night. It got really cold, and we had some strong winds, but we didn't get any much rain or nothing with it. Or down south in southern part of Arkansas, I think they were supposed to maybe have some tornado watches, but I didn't hear of any tornadoes hitting anywhere. But it's been cold. So.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice out here tonight. I'd say high 50s, low 60s kind of thing. I can't really see my breath when I speak, so that helps. But anywho, Timothy, how are you doing this evening, young man?
Not too bad. As I indicated in the green room, we are, recovering, or some of us more than others, from the flu. So I tell you what, I haven't had the flu in a while, and I forgot just how bad it sucked. It definitely hits me more than I've had COVID a few times, too. COVID, by far, I'll take COVID over the flu. Just because for me personally, I get kind of real fatigued with COVID for about a day, maybe two. With the flu, it knocked me on my ass. And it not just, you know, like it kind of cripples you, because it just, I was in pain all over. There's nothing you can do to get comfortable. And it was just agonizing enough to where you don't just want to lay there and watch a movie. Like, you don't want to do anything just because you're in so much misery. So I am finally better. I've actually been back to work. I worked every day. I did telework earlier. We're in for a chill. It's getting colder here too, Granny. So looking forward to that. Not really. But anyway, looking forward to a good show tonight. I'm glad to be on and ready to get to it.
Outstanding. Yeah, that flu has a way of it for me, whenever I get it, it's almost like a muscle. You get up and you feel like you ran the Boston Marathon. You know what I mean? You get all Charlie horsed up. Your joints are all stiff and everything.
The fever dreams are what do it for me. I hate that. That's the worst part of it. I get these real weird, like my mind can't shut off. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
The only way I can explain it is it's like there's these internal taskings, like these tasks going on, or things that like your brain is working on, but and it's just like this repetitive it's this weird cycle that's just so screwed up. And I don't know. And the whole time you can't get comfortable. You're sweating. You're shivering. You know, it's just, I hate the attempts to sleep and having the fever dreams. God awful.
Yeah, that stuff is, hell with that. The flu is just, and of course, I think it's kind of nifty that everybody's allowed to catch the flu now, and it won't be called COVID. It can actually be called exactly what it is, influenza. So, yeah, it's particularly nasty. And after you get it, it takes, even when you get on the backside of it, it still takes about a week for you to get your, you know, kind of regular grind going back again. So, yeah, man, hopefully your recovery will be quick, because God knows, man, I wouldn't wish that stuff on anybody. Maybe a couple
either.
People, but, yeah. And, you know, I was speaking about it in the green room, and Granny, I know with doing your engagements and everything, you've run up on it. We call it the con crud. And con crud is a pretty interesting phenomenon that nobody really knows about until they catch it. When you go to cons, what is the difference between going, say, to a baseball game and going to a con? People still pee. People still poop, people still drink, people still eat, people still walk around, people still sit next to one another, people still sneeze. But the difference between going to a baseball game and going to a con is one simple action, and it's called a handshake. And it's hard these days for hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands. I haven't done any research on the handshake, but it's hard, especially for a guy like myself in my 50s who's been, you know, shaking hands with people and was always taught, look somebody in the eye, shake their hand firmly when you meet them, you know, when you see them. That's how you address somebody. And because I can't stand those guys that got kind of that loose handshake. God damn it, when I shake somebody's hand, I want them to shake it back. nevertheless, you're always shaking hands with people for various reasons. And none of them, I mean, it's not a bad thing. There's a lot of hugs. There's a lot of handshaking. There's a lot of picture taking. So you're standing there in other people's personal space, you know, got your arms around people and all that kind of jazz. And so you usually come back from a con, and the next morning you wake up
and you're talking like this because it's already gotten to your throat. And you feel like shit, and you just know you got the con cred.
So what happens is you get guys like me who try their level best via the emergencies, the Vicks dailies, the airborne. Airborne's what I swear by. So I loaded up on the airborne last week prior to going to Grand Strand Con. And knock on wood, this Wednesday night, I'm out here and enjoying the cigar, and I have yet to sniffle or cough at all. Now, of course, I say that, and tomorrow morning
you'll be waking
like
up
that.
And you won't be able to talk.
Jesus Christ. Somebody kill me. I'd go walk in traffic, but I can't walk that far right now.
So, yeah, hopefully it won't catch me. Damn proud of the fact that it didn't this far, but we shall see. Now, before we venture further in, I want to kind of kick back. I know we skipped school last week. It was just probably for the better because we were all trying to get prepared for Thanksgiving and travel and all that kind of good stuff, so we all decided to kind of take a rain check last week. But the week prior, we did a show that was about media and their inability to tell the truth, how they pretty much are more propagandists now than they are relaying the news. So Todd had brought up the topic of a particular missile that had been shot into Poland. And, you know, when we did the show, it was still fresh news. You know, it had only been, you know, 18 hours since the missile had happened, and they're still trying to figure out the who's and the what's and everything. So I find out a couple days later that that entire story was false. The whole story
wow.
was a bunch of baloney. So, you know, before I go too deep into the rabbit hole, let me just explain what why I get on my rants, and bear with me. It's this potentially could have started World War III. Because going back to what I was saying before, World War I was started by the assassination of the Kaiser. Okay? For all the countries that were involved in World War I, probably 5% of them had anything to do with the Kaiser. Okay? But yet all these countries came and all these, you know, individuals lost their lives, you know, fighting World War I. So, anywho, you get this missile, which comes out, comes to find out is baloney. First off, what's the Ukrainian president, the clown? I can't remember his name. That's how important he is. Regardless, he gets on there and is saying, ah, well, X, Y, and Z, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So this guy is dealing, either he knew it was baloney and was running his mouth, or he's getting bad intel. Where is he getting bad intel from? Not from his intelligence people, but from the Associated Press. The Associated Press is supposed to be the Marlon Brando, if you will, or the whatever dominant, the Wayne Gretzky, if you will, of news. The Associated Press and Reuters are the two news sources that are supposed to be the hallmark, the it for reporting news, not only to the United States, but to the world. And they relayed a falsehood, which could have potentially led to World War III had somebody had a knee-jerk reaction. Zelensky is his name. It would come to me sooner or later. A little tape delay on that. That's what happens when you get old. But, you know, nobody's holding the Associated Press' feet to the fire over this thing. When they found out it was baloney, the Associated Press goes, ah, well, yeah, we got some bad intelligence. My bad. And they move on to the next thing. Nobody out there held them accountable for the miscommunication. Now, Granny, Tim, I'll throw it out there to you guys. I would dare say that you were given a task and you didn't complete the task that the people around you would stand you up for it. Am I not right? So why doesn't the world go to the Associated Press and go, you damn near did it. You damn near did it. Because if you think that somebody had a knee-jerk reaction to that kind of stuff, how many lives would have been lost before they finally said, hey, guys, this didn't happen. So I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, for everybody that's listening, that, again, as I always preach, perfect example, self-educate, dig deeper, get the truth, get it from all sides before you start running with something, because you never can tell when somebody is blowing smoke. So, yeah, scary times, scary stuff, real scary if you ask me, but nevertheless, it led into our Thanksgiving weekend, which I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know I did. I had a blast. And then, of course, ran to Grand Strand Con in Myrtle Beach, which I'll recap in a little bit as we're kicking it around the room. So, Grant, we'll send it your way. So how was your Thanksgiving and the following weekend, Jay? You guys do good?
Well, David and I went to a local church that was doing a free Thanksgiving meal for the community. And I tell you, they had the turkey, they had ham, they had chicken, they had pulled pork, they had ribs that were like had a dry rub seasoning on them, and they had salmon. I mean, good pieces of salmon, and whatever they seasoned that with, it was phenomenal. They had green bean casserole, they had corn, they had mashed potatoes, they had sweet potatoes, they had salad, they had cornbread stuffing, they had stuffing, and they had all sorts of desserts. And it was, I mean, it was so good. It was just absolutely. And they were telling people, now they said, now if you want to come back and have dinner, come back before 4 o'clock, you know. Of course, this was like right at 11 o'clock when people are first coming in to start eating. And I'm thinking to myself, I told David, I said, I'm not going to be hungry at 4 o'clock, before 4 o'clock. I mean, but I mean, they put on a spread like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it was delicious. And
how awesome is it they can do that, though, you know?
I mean, you know, and it was really nice. And I was talking to a young lady there, and she had a service dog, and he was a double doodle. He was a labradoodle, golden doodle. His name was Buckingham. That dog looked like a horse, like a pony, as big as he was. But this young lady, when she was born, I guess her lungs, I mean, she was a premature baby, obviously. So her lungs never fully, she said she has lungs like of a 10-year-old. And she passes out sometimes because of it. So her dog has learned to unlock the deadbolt with his teeth, with his mouth, and he runs to the neighbor's house. And he'll put his mouth on the door, and he'll try to twist the doorknob, and he'll rattle the doorknob. Well, if the neighbors don't come to the door, he has been trained to run to the fire station, which is behind her house. And he goes, gets the firemen to go help her. And this dog has learned, she put peanut butter on a couple shirts, and the dog has learned to take clothes out one piece at a time out of her dryer for her and put them in the laundry basket. The dog can carry in one bag of groceries, like a Walmart bag or whatever, you know, bag of groceries one at a time in the house for her. This dog was absolutely amazing. And it was just so touching listening to her talk, you know, because his name was Buckingham, and I wish I'd taken a picture of him because he was such a beautiful dog. I mean, and he was very friendly, very sociable. And, of course, I never pet a service dog unless the people tell me it's okay. And she says, Buckingham, go say hello to the nice people. And he comes and sits and shakes hands with David and I. And I was sitting in the chair next to her talking to her. And he comes and lays his head on my lap, on my leg, on my lap, and just lays his head there and looks at me like, hello, I'm down here, pet me, you know. But he was such a beautiful dog. So that was our Thanksgiving. I mean, like I said, we didn't really do anything spectacular, but that was our Thanksgiving. But, you know, it was just so.
I disagree because. That sounds like it was spectacular. You know what I mean? That sounds like
it was nothing fancy. You know, it was just, you know, just dinner at a local church. Just getting to talk to that young lady was so, I mean, listening to her talk about her dog, you know, what he could do. And you know, I mean, Anthony's little dog, Mysterio, you know, he's never been trained as a service dog, but Anthony's got the letter saying that, you know, he can take Mysterio with him wherever he goes. He has to have him with him because of the mental illness, you know. So I guess now, I know some people fight against this, but, you know, you see things like on Facebook or whatever, you know, that to get your dog registered as a service dog, and people, you know, emotional support animals aren't service dogs. They have to be trained. They have to be, you know, they have to do this. They have to do that to be considered a service dog. Well, I mean, because, like, Mysterio can recognize when Anthony's blood sugar drops low, and he's never been trained to recognize that. But he knows because he'll get up and lick Anthony in his face. If Anthony gets a little lethargic acting, you know, Mysterio will lick him in his face. Now, Mysterio's never been trained to do that. But because of the mental illness, he's known as an emotional support animal, you know, but, I mean, he's never been trained to do certain things for Anthony.
Yeah, dogs know, dogs are sharp, because I know Misty will come up to me sometimes and she will sniff right over top of my right butt cheek. And I know it sounds funny when I say that. She's not sniffing my butt. She's sniffing right over top, right there at the belt line. And probably within the next 3-4 minutes after she does that, my sciatic flares up for whatever reason. And there have been times I've been washing dishes or, you know, cooking dinner or just getting around the house, and Misty will just walk right on up. You know, she's a 130-pound dog, so she makes her way around the house. And she just walks right up and buries her nose right in my lower back. And when she first started doing it, I was like, what the hell is this dog doing? And now I know that whenever she does it, I prepare myself. I'm like, all right, let's get ready. You know, this thing's get ready to light me up here in a second. And bigger than anything, there it goes. And it's like, ooh, ugh. And, you know, if you got sciatic issues, you know, that thing will light you up for about 5-10 seconds, and then it's over with. And it's the damnest thing. I mean, dogs are smart. So, you know, when it comes down to that kind of stuff, it's good to know that we've got a system in place where, you put it this way, we're far enough along as a society where we accept the fact that perhaps these dogs know more than what we give them credit for, and we let them do their jobs. And if it helps out Anthony and it keeps his head in check, yeah, by God, yeah. I don't think they always require training. I think sometimes they just know ahead of time. You know what I mean? Now, mine ain't going out the car getting their damn groceries out the back of it. I can tell you that damn much. But I think, as a matter of fact, I had a bad reaction to some medicine one night. And Sadie. Now, I call it the paranormal activity stance. It kind of creeped me out. I thought I was going to die because, you know, how sometimes dogs act sketchy around you when you're going to die and everything. Well, I'm laying in bed, and I don't know what the hell is fixing to happen to me. Because it just, everything in my body wasn't working after I had taken this medicine. And Sadie sat in bed and was about a foot away from me and just sat in bed, didn't lay in bed, just sat there and stared at me. She didn't lick me. She didn't put her paws on me. She didn't, you know, nose me, sniff me, and all of that. She just stared at me. And I'm like, remember telling Dale, I said, Jesus, am I going to die? Does this dog know I'm going to die and this is what she's trying to say goodbye or something? I says, what the hell's going on here? Dogs know. Dogs are very sharp. And it's good to hear there's people out there that legitimately need the help that are able to get it. And just the same, though, I would like to give the official finger to people who abuse that stuff and makes it harder for the people who actually need it to get the help, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I know there's some times where Anthony has taken Mysterio, in with him to, like, you know, Walmart, you know, and he keeps him in the shopping cart and, you know, and he has him on his leash and stuff, and no one's ever questioned. I mean, he doesn't do it very often, but every once in a while he'll take him in with him, I guess, you know, if he's feeling anxious or whatever, you know, and he, you know, he takes Mysterio in there with him to have him with him, you know, to kind of keep him calm.
Keep him on
track. Keep him,
yeah,
you know. And so in a way, I guess, you know, you could consider Mysterio a service dog, even though, you know, and I know some people might disagree with that, you know, and but I don't know, you know. So
you can't disagree with a genuine need. If you have a genuine need for it, then by God, you got it. Now, if you're one of these nitwits that just carries a half dozen dogs on the cart because you don't feel like leaving them at the house to tear up the shit all over your home, that's a different ball of wax. I know our rule used to be in management. They used to always tell us that don't ask, and the only time you could approach is when the dog is acting. The term they used was menace, and that was kind of constant barking, growling, snarling, showing its teeth, being unruly, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've seen many a dog riding around the damn shopping cart just chilling, enjoying the day, and they are no more certified than the man on the moon, but they're behaving. So you know what? I can care less. It's only when they get in there and start acting a fool, and I've seen it happen, Lord knows. And they go in there and get aggressive or snarl at some kids or something. And yeah. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that he's able to do that. And sound like you had an excellent, matter of fact, you talk about all that chow, man. I just got done eating before we got on the air, and it's like, damn, that food sounds good.
Well, I tell you, whatever kind of seasoning they put on that salmon, it was absolutely, I mean, it was cooked perfectly. I mean, you know, it was just, and it wasn't like a small piece. I mean, it was like a little square piece of salmon, and it was fairly good sized portions. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's just you know,
yeah.
Like, ooh, salmon for Thanksgiving, yeah. You know,
ain't no wrong with that.
No.
They probably blackened it, because I'm not a real big fish guy, but I will go to town on some salmon when it's good and blackened and has that Cajun seasoning on it and everything. Kind of unfunks the old fish taste out of it. And, yeah, that's some good eating right there. Salmon on Thanksgiving, not a problem. That's for damn certain. So, Tim, talk to me. What kind of shenanigans did y'all have going on at the house for Thanksgiving?
Well, we'll never know what the shenanigans were at our house because we weren't here. We went down to Bloomington to my wife's sister, and we enjoyed turkey, stuffing, potatoes, I don't know, all the fixings. It was good, and, you know, everyone gets comatose after that, but we decided to watch. And you know what? I actually never knew. I've seen the movie, but I never really thought of it as anything that could lead to a tradition, which it sounds like it probably is in several households, and it was pointed out there. But we watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and believe it or not,
wow,
it's a Thanksgiving movie. It is a Thanksgiving movie. So it's all about someone trying to get home for Thanksgiving. So it's a very, very hysterical movie. Got a couple of scenes that will have you in stitches. It's a good classic, especially if you're watching with parents. But no, it was a good day. It was awesome. And then the next day after that, I went and saw, my brother was in town from Virginia. He always hangs out at my mom's. So I went there and hung out with him and my two nephews. So that was pretty cool. Relaxed there for a few hours. And then after that's when it went all downhill. And Saturday I felt like crap, and Sunday was bad, and we all got hit. Kim's mom was hit bad enough she was in the hospital with the flu. She's okay now. She came home. But, yeah, that's how bad we got hit. So, you know, just glad to be back in the swing of things, or trying to be anyway.
So that was it.
Yeah, that stuff is vicious. And you know, sometimes I think it's all from traveling. I know sometimes when I travel, and not necessarily by, you know, plane or anything, because you know when you're going to be on a plane, you've got that pressurized air, and you're more or less breathing recycled air the whole time you're on that plane. So, you know, if somebody gets on there with the old herpes gonosyphilis, you're going to catch it too. But I know a lot of times, sometimes just different air. I know that sounds crazy because it's all oxygen and hydrogen and everything. Here comes Bill Nye, get ready to kick my ass. But what I mean is it's just different weather, different humidity, different pollution and all that kind of jazz. And I know even me, just going to Myrtle Beach 2 hours away, sometimes, you know, wake up in there. Or good example was that Friday night. I was, you know, hocking up the damn wads and, you know, spitting them in the turlet and everything. But, of course, you know, Saturday morning I got up, felt fine. But I had that little bit of cotton mouth going on and all that, and I think it's just from breathing different air and being in different places sometimes. And when you do that traveling, it just has a habit of catching up with you. That's why I take those airbornes. I'm here to tell you, there are certain things in this world that I absolutely swear by, and those airbornes are one of them. And I have a habit. I had gotten, 2011. I had gotten sick, but I wasn't, it was all in my lungs. It wasn't your normal sneezing, runny nose, snot dribbling, everything kind of sickness. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was totally dry. I had a real bad cough, and I was having a tough time breathing. So anyhow, I was managing the club. You know, it's a 155,000 square foot building, and everybody's like, "Dude, you need to go to the doc." I was like, "I ain't got time to go to the doc. I'll be all right. Take a NyQuil. Everything's fine." So I went for about 4 or 5 days taking NyQuil. Nothing was changing. So coming to work, everybody's like, "Dude, you look like death, man." And I'm one of these guys that don't get sick. So if I do get sick, everybody kind of goes on alert. And to the front of the club, and my lights went out because I wasn't breathing. And took a nosedive on the concrete, and they picked me up, ran me to the doctor. And doc said, "You've got about 24 hours. You're either going to be on a respirator or you're going to be dead." And I says, "Okay, I'm listening. What do I need to do?" And he said what had happened was it was a bronchial infection. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden you had my attention. The minute you mentioned death, it's like, okay, so what do I do? What do I have to do to prevent this? So he said that what had happened was that it was a bronchial infection. And it had nothing to do with being all snotty and sneezing and wheezing and all that. He said your bronchial tubes are swelling shut, and that's why you're not getting any air. And that's why walking across that club, you just ran out of air, and it shut your lights out. So, you know, got the antibiotics, blah, 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 got it all cleared up in the next 2 or 3 days, felt better. And at that point, I said to myself, I am never getting in that damn situation again. Never, ever. And started taking that airborne. And I'm good for taking two a week. If you start taking the stuff, I suggest taking it 3 or 4 times a week. But then once you kind of get it worked into your system, you can kind of taper off. If you know you're going somewhere, if you're going to be in a crowd of people, you might want to bump it back up. But I've gotten to the point where I can take one a week, and I don't catch colds anymore. Do I fall down steps and do I cut myself and all that kind of nifty stuff? Yeah. But when it comes down to that good old-fashioned head cold where you wake up and you talk to it like this because your nose is all stuffed up, I don't do that stuff anymore. And it's, I swear by that airborne stuff. I mean, if they ever want me to do some damn spokesperson stuff, I'd do it for free. Maybe not for free, you know. A little bit of money, but yeah, that's good stuff. Whatever it takes to keep from getting it, that's my rule, you know. Good. I don't want to recover from anything. I just don't want to get it the first day of play. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah, sounds like you had a great Thanksgiving, with the exception of the following days, man. That's a shame that all that happened. You had a good time, and then turned out to get sicker now.
Oh yeah.
Now your mom-in-law okay now?
Yeah, and what's strange enough is, you know, I went to my mom's house on Friday, like I said, and they're all fine. So it's tough to tell from all the events, because it was the same crowd really that was in Bloomington for Thanksgiving that went out for my son's birthday Friday night. That was the same crew. I, in between those two events, went to my parents with my kids and hung out there for a few hours. So I would have thought I would have gotten my brother infected, my nephews, my mom, my stepdad. And every single one of them is fine. Nobody has any symptoms of anything. We're just the ones from Eating Out Friday are the sickest. Like I said, Kim's mom is now back. She was in the hospital. So, yeah, she's doing fine now. But, man, what a way to end the week. I'll tell you what, I was this sick. This is how sick I was. I didn't watch. I think what I did was I came in here into my office, and because this is where my space heater is. And when I'm truly sick, I can't get warm enough. And the space heater is plugged in because this is typically the coldest room in the house. Well, unless you're by the space heater. I came in here and I turned the football game on. It was the Titans game because the Colts didn't play. So the Titans were playing, I can't remember who, and I was like, I don't even care. I just want to lay next to this heater. And I drifted off to sleep with that game on. I ended up muting it, didn't even care, didn't watch the evening games, didn't watch Sunday night football. The whole day is a blur because I was in such agony, and I just moved from – I couldn't get comfortable in one spot, so I moved from space to space. I went to my bed for a while. I was on the couch for a while. We were all kind of just rotating. It was so gross. It was just like think of Monty Python, bring out your dead. You know, I'm expecting somebody to walk by. We're all just going to be hauled off onto a wagon of some sort. Good Lord. I don't ever want to be sick again.
Get Dustin Hoffman out there in his hazmat suit, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking to the pilots of the bomber. Turn around. Do not drop that bomb. What's funny about that movie is what's so bad about it is when COVID first hit, and you know, I think I spoke about it here on the show, because I was working part-time at a grocery store because it was in March. So it wasn't during my pressure washing season thing. There are guys out there trying to pressure wash in January. If you got small children and a mortgage and all that, you go right on ahead. I have my house paid off and all my kids graduated and I own my cars. I am not going to be spraying houses when it's 14 degrees outside. There's certain things I got to draw the line on. So what I go do is, you know, I go fling broccoli at the local grocery store and everything. And so it was March when the stuff hit, and that was when they started doing the old folks shop early thing and all that. And I'm in there 7 o'clock in the morning, and you've got these mummies walking around the damn building, and they're going, bleh, 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 bleh. And I'm going, shit, I'm gonna die. And, you know, I remember coming home telling Dale, I says, man, I don't make $10 an hour. I says, we got to make a call on this stuff. I says, because it's going to be hard for me to take care of you guys if I'm dead. So is it worth the $10 an hour for me to go in there and get killed to death with this stuff? It did. I mean, so, you know, then, of course, you know, you're like, okay, all right, got the day off. You know what? I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to find something to watch. And I'm just going to chill in the recliner for a little bit. You know, just kind of put all this mysterious COVID stuff behind me, man. Turn on the TV, you know. Well, let's see what's on Turner Classic Movies. And all you see is Outbreak. Okay, I'm not watching Outbreak. Turn it again. That's what it is, 28 days later. Okay, I'm not watching 28 days later. Okay. Oh, the Walking Dead marathon. No, I'm not watching that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you couldn't get away from it, you know.
That was another one, I think. What was the one? It's not really the same thing. It's more of a horror flick. It's kind of got nothing to do with that. But those people that are – it's one of those dumb things where it's supposed to be like they're filming their own movie, you know, because it's like a there's like a news team there, you know, and they're in this building, and I think they're with firefighters or like something to that effect. And they're in there like maybe in a firehouse or something. And then all of a sudden you see like – out of nowhere, all these troops come out and they like barricade like the windows. They block everything, and all these people are trapped. And you know, come to find out, it's because there's been some kind of a horrible virus. And so these people, I think like one by one, they die off or something. But it's a horror flick. So
yeah, I mean it's the stuff you watch when you really shouldn't be watching it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, of course, you know, I look back on those wonderful early days of COVID. Now I look at myself now, and I'm going, you asshole. You fell for it. You drank Kool-Aid. You schmuck. Way to go, Atwell, you dumbass.
I don't know. I think we didn't have a choice but to, you know. There were so many, and there's no way anybody could have really known what the hell was going on. It's just, and if you, I don't know. I kind of feel like if people – overprepared, you know, whatever, but if they would have underprepared, you'd still be getting, you know, people criticizing you for whatever. I don't know. Nobody knew what to do. But, yeah, man, I think the whole country just tackled it. So, you know, they have these plexiglass things in, like, a 2x2 space, and it's like, so viruses can only go from point to point? Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I used to always say how yeah.
Apparently they traveled a straight line.
Yeah. Well, that was like my wife. They closed down the bank. I don't know how many times. One of them would get it in the bank, and they shut the branch down. All of them would go home, and they have a hazmat team come in and clean the bank. In the meantime, I'm working at a grocery store where there's people in there that's had it like 8 or 9 dozen times, and they didn't shut it down. They extended the hours in the store I was working at. So it was kind of funny when it came down to that who could and who couldn't type thing. I'm like, okay, so this thing is more profession-based than it is. It's like, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a firefighter. Okay, you can't catch it. You know, no, that's not how that works. It's no. You know, it's okay, now all you guys writing, if you're writing about BLM, you won't catch it. But if you're writing about gun laws and the Second Amendment, you will catch it.
Right.
And of course, Fauci out there, Fauci's getting, I'm surprised we ain't heard about Fauci just being found dangling in a closet somewhere, because the hounds have figured out what tree he's in. And you could tell he is trying so hard, because he doesn't want to do the old missing persons thing, because that's kind of like an indirect admission of guilt. But on the flip side, he's making himself scarce, and he's being awful helpful and forthcoming with a whole lot of damn comments now. Oh, yeah, I'll handle that question. When a year ago he wouldn't handle the same question, I'm going, you're trying to be everybody's buddy now, because you know your ass fixing to go on the grill. So...
Yeah,
it's, you know, I've said it for a long, 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 long time. You know, both of my granddads, my mom's dad lived till he was 90, and my dad's dad lived till he was 94. Both of them were veterans. Both of them fought in World War II. One drove a beer truck after his service to his country, and the other one built houses. And one smoked a pipe. One drank whiskey. Woke up and would pour whiskey on ice and would sip on Jack Daniels on ice all day long. He wasn't a drunk, but he would just sip on a whiskey all day long. He'd probably just have one or two glasses, but he would sip on it all day long. And both of these gentlemen lived to be in their 90s. And I've said more often than not, you know, it's like, you look like guys like Jack LaLanne, who lived well into his 90s, and you're going, well, you know, he's in such great shape. He took such good care of himself. To live 90-some-odd years requires an awful lot of luck, too. I don't give a damn what nobody says. You live a damn near century, and you didn't get in a car accident or a damn bear didn't attack you or you didn't get shot in a 7-Eleven. It takes an awful lot of damn luck to get.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes down to these illnesses, be it whatever they are, a person's constitution and luck really comes into play, because you look at somebody like me with the COVID thing. I smoke cigars, okay, obviously. And Dale caught it twice, three times. And I laid down next to her in bed every damn night she had it. Never caught it. Now, does that make me some type of, you know, one of the movies? Whenever they're having that one guy who can't catch it, he's like patient X or whatever.
I was going to say there's a team right now coming to grab you, kind of like how they do the mutants, you know?
With their hazmat outfits on.
Yeah, they'll be hooking me all kinds of cables. I'll be like E.T., and they're shoving cables all over my shit and everything, you know. Next thing you know, they're putting me in front of Professor X, and it's like, David, can you feel this? Don't put Cerebro on me, man. No, I – but, you know, but in the meantime, I'm also the same guy who's been stitched up a couple hundred times, has broken countless bones. You know what I mean? It's just, sometimes I think it's just one of those things where it just comes to a you know, what was it, the word, Ian Malcolm, Jurassic Park, natural selection. Nature just finds its way. I'm a firm believer in that. And, you know, I went through a thing there, you know, when I went through my divorce in 92, I went into a just downward spiral and got in real bad shape, doing a lot of things I shouldn't be doing, and because I didn't care. I thought I was useless, and I was trying to rinse my filth from the panties of the world, and I was in a deep, dark, busted place for a long time. And so a buddy of mine one day, I was over there shooting the breeze at his house, and he had some weights, right? And he, you know, we're shooting the breeze. So I lay down on his weight bench, and I, and I put the damn weights back up on the rack, right? And he says, holy shit, man. I said, what? He says, how much you weigh now? I said, I don't know. I think I weigh about 160. And he says, yeah, those were the good old days. And he says, you know, you just put up like 225, right? I said, that ain't 225. He goes, yeah, it's 225 rather. I said, no way. So next thing you know, I started working out. And I went into this big thing where I was taking all these supplements and just, I mean, garlic pill this, fish oil that. You know, I was taking so many grams of protein every day, measuring my meals, and yeah, I got in great shape. And then I almost died in a car wreck. So,
yeah, so,
I mean, when it all comes down to brass tacks, it takes a lot of luck. And, you know, I think sometimes folks just, you know, going out like you were saying, you know, how your crowd didn't get it. I think somehow or another, everything in their body was just going in the right direction. And when the Oogie Boogies got to them, their body could fight it off. And I got a hunch whatever's floating in that restaurant is what got to everybody.
Yeah,
whatever
probably so. You know, to your point, at what age do you get to go, you know what, I made it, I win? Is it like 90?
Right.
90, 80?
Yeah.
Because I figure at some point, you talk about being lucky, and it's like, at what point can you just kind of like, just put yourself on cruise at that point, like, well, it doesn't matter now. I made it this far. I win. F off, everyone.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, because, you know, I myself, when, you know, before I met Dale, you know, I was not in a good mental place. You know, even though I was working out, I was still a nut. I was still, as a matter of fact, in some ways I got worse, because what happened is I got in good shape and, you know, got the muscle thing going on, and I started, you know, starting shit that I shouldn't have started, and being in a place I shouldn't have been, and hanging with people I shouldn't have been hanging around. And it's all because, you know, all of a sudden I was invincible because I worked out, you know what I mean? So when I met Dale, and suddenly I had a reason to live, you know, started cleaning up my act. But if we go back in time to 1993, 94, I'd have told you I was going to be dead by the time I was 33. That's how far I thought I had, because I genuinely felt useless as a human being. And I felt like the good Lord was just going to go ahead and, like I said, cleanse this earth of my filth. And so I was going to get in all I could. I was raising hell, partying my ass off, doing whatever I could. I was jumping off of stuff I shouldn't jump off of. I was eating stuff I shouldn't eat. Why? Because I knew I was heading the Reaper anyway. So then, 33 turned into 34, 34 turned into 37, 37 turned into 40. So now every birthday, especially my 50th one, because, again, that was the COVID year, 2020 is when everybody was scratching their head. In May of 2020, we were only 2 months into this COVID thing. And, you know, I hit 50, and I'm like, hot damn, I made it to 50. Ain't that some shit? I made it to 50. I'm not on any pharmaceuticals. I'm not dead. It's like, wow, I made it. Well, ain't that a bitch that there's something out there killing people now, and I can't breathe in air, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, because this COVID stuff's going to kill me. So, yeah, you know, it's That's why I often sell, you hear people say all the time, ah, man, it's just my birthday, I ain't worried about it. Bullshit. If you made it another year, celebrate it. I don't want to hear nothing about it. Ah, it's just a birthday, I ain't worried about it. No. You need to rock that shit, because the way things are going in this world right now, if you made it another 365 days, then by Christ, it's time to celebrate. So, but it's funny, the comparison, because now here I am, a granddad, and I got all this neat stuff going on, and now I'm worried about staying alive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't Google anything about health for fear that it, you know, I know I'm going to die. How am I going to go? You know? So.
Well, you know, my daddy, he was 71 when he passed, and he had a lot of health issues. I mean, he actually had congestive heart failure, and he ended up, a year before he died, we found out he had bone cancer, but he told my mom, he says, I'm not going to do any kind of chemo or anything like that. So we were having, by this time, mom and dad were living in Springdale, and my dad's youngest sister had been here helping my mom and me, you know, take care of my daddy, you know, and stuff like that. And I was still working at the time, and it was like 4th of July, and we had brats, and we had cheeseburgers and hot dogs, you name it, we had it. And I made my potato salad that my daddy loved so much. He asked me if I would make the potato salad for him, and I did. And daddy got to the point where he didn't eat because he wanted to. He ate because he had to. You know, nothing tasted good to him, you know. And that meal that we had with everything, he says, you know, I'm not supposed to have a lot of this stuff, but I don't care. I'm going to enjoy it. That was on July 4th, and he passed away 11 days later on the 15th of July. Now, a month after I lost my daddy, I had taken my mom back to Kansas to take care of some final stuff, and I was at my aunt and uncle's house. Well, I started going up their steps to go upstairs. I'd been downstairs. I was going to go upstairs. I had the worst pain in my right leg hit me like, I thought it was like a Charlie horse. I mean, because it was that bad of a cramp. And I thought, what is wrong here, you know? And it kept bothering me. So I get home, and I was talking to my dad's younger sister, who was a nurse. And she says, well, you know what it sounds like? And I said, yeah, it sounds like symptoms of a blood clot, you know, because my leg was hot, that, you know, in the back. I mean, it was warm to touch. It was swollen. It was red. So I drove myself to the emergency room. Well, David and I weren't even married yet. And my son was like a junior in high school. And I called and told David, I said, take Anthony over to my mom's. I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be here tonight. Well, next thing I know, here's my mom and David at the hospital. And I told mom, I said, Mom, I said, just go home. I said, it's not that I don't want you here, but I don't want Anthony to be by himself, you know. Even though he was a junior in high school, I didn't want him to be by himself because he was worried about me. We had just lost my dad the month before, so he was still dealing with the grief of losing Grandpa, and he was the first grandson, so him and my dad were very close. I said, I don't want Anthony by himself right now. So she went back home. About 3 o'clock in the morning, they discovered that I had a blood clot in my leg. So they said, well, we're putting you in the hospital. I said, okay. Hooked me up to the IVs. I couldn't even get up and walk to the restroom. I had to use a bedside commode, you know. I had to stand on my left foot, hold my right foot off the floor. I mean, they had me hooked up to all this equipment. 2 days later, I'm laying in the hospital bed. I had just finished dinner, and I felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. I mean, it wasn't painful, but I had a lot of pressure there, you know, like, okay, it feels like somebody's squishing me. That's the only way I could just describe it to the nurse. Comes in and takes my blood pressure, and it was 166 over 122. She says, you just relax. I'll be right back. I'm going to go call the doctor. Well, next thing I know, they're moving me down to the heart floor. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? You know, I'm like, I'm freaking out, like not knowing, you know, what's going on. So they put me in this room. It was like an isolation room. And I thought, why am I back here? I mean, there's nobody. I can't see nobody. I mean, there's, you know, I don't want to be back here by myself. And I asked the nurse, and she was really hateful. I mean, she had to been the nurse, like, the devil herself. I mean, she was just like so hateful.
Nurse Ratched.
And
yeah.
I mean, it was just like, and I said, can you get me a bedside commode? I need to use the restroom. You have a blood clot. And she threw me on a bedpan and left me there. And I'm like thinking, okay, I hate using one of those anyways. And I'm like, somebody get me off this thing. I'm going to flood the bed. And I'm like, and David, like, he says, I don't want you back here by yourself. He says, I'm going to say something. If you don't, I am. He says, I don't want you back here by yourself. Well, next thing I know, I am like, my room is right across from the nurse's station. They've got me hooked up to heart monitors. They've got me hooked up to this, to that. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? Well, after they put me in that other room, I never saw that nurse anymore the whole time I was in the hospital. It was like she just vanished. And,
oh, wow.
You know, I didn't think about it much at the time. But looking back at that, I'm thinking, was that even a real person? Because the next day when my doctor came in, he says, how are we feeling this morning? I said, well, I don't know what happened last night, and you better not leave anything out, and certainly don't sugarcoat anything, because something majorly took place last night in my life. And I had actually had two blood clots in my leg instead of one, and one of the clots broke loose and went straight to my right lung. And the doctor told me if I had come into the emergency room that Sunday night that I did, I wouldn't have made it. I would have died.
That's crazy.
And I'm thinking, okay, how crazy is this? I mean, you know, so like I told the nurse, I said, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I mean, I laid there and I cried. I mean, I bawled like a baby. And I'm like, okay, God, I get this. You know, if I'm going to be good, because I was helping my mom. I was trying to be there for my son. David was there for me, but I couldn't even grieve, you know, my daddy passing away. I mean, because I was so busy taking care of everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking of number one here. And I do that. I mean, I always think of other people, and I don't always necessarily think of myself. So I'm like, okay. So when I got my composure, I called David later that day. I said, when you come see me tonight, bring me my Bible. And he says, why? And I said, just bring me my Bible. I'll tell you when you come up. I said, I don't want to talk about it right now. So it's like, obviously, God was not ready to take me home back then. I mean, but it was like, and I just turned 60 in August, so I don't take life for granted anymore. I mean, I live each day to its fullest because none of us is promised tomorrow. And I just have to be there. And I learned if I'm going to be good to anybody else and help anybody else, I've got to take care of myself too. And that
Correct.
Was a hard thing for me. That was a hard thing for me to do. But I had to learn to do it. But it was just like the situations, what could have happened had I not gone into the emergency room that night. Would I have died Sunday night? Would I have died Monday? You know, would I have died Tuesday? I don't know. But
yeah.
All they told me was, if you didn't come in the night, if you hadn't come in the night you did, you would not be alive this morning. And I'm like, okay. Rude awakening
yeah,
here. You're like, okay, God, I get it, God. I get it. You know, you're trying to tell me something here.
Yeah, lots of that.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I totally hear you.
So.
I think we all have that coming around moment, and there are people who react to it, and there's people who don't. And doesn't mean you got to take a total 180 in your life, but, you know, you need to be more aware of what's important and what's trivial, you know. But yeah,
you know,
that's
like looking back to that situation, you know, where, I mean, all of a sudden that lady was there, that nurse was there, and then all of a sudden it was like she just vanished. And I thought, okay, was that person even real, or was she the devil in disguise? Because it started,
exactly.
I mean, you know, like back then I didn't think much about it. But looking back over the years, when she just vanished so quickly, like, okay, where did she go?
Yeah,
you know,
some damn
she's not
or something like
that. You know, I mean, like, you know, because, you know, they say angels will appear in a form of, you know, somebody, you know,
yeah.
Was she the devil? I mean, because she sure was hateful enough to be. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Well, they say that.
Like,
they say there's been stories where they come in and somebody's, you know, family member that's sick, and you walk in and they say, get her out of my room. You know, who's that? That woman standing at the end of my bed. And they're
mm-hmm.
like, there's
mm-hmm.
nobody here. Yes, there is. There's somebody standing right there, and everybody thinks they're nuts, you know, and it's
well, but
yeah.
Like I said, I mean, this woman was literally, this nurse was literally in that room with me, and then all of a sudden she just, like, vanished. She disappeared. After she
yeah.
walked out of the room, she was gone. And I'm like, where did that woman go? You know, where
she
did she go?
She was going to collect that night. Granny kicked her ass. That's what it was.
Well, that and you know, the funny thing is, Dave, that was before Granny Hulkster was ever even thought of. Granny Hulkster
right.
didn't even exist then. It was just Lori Watkins. Because David and I weren't even married yet. We'd only been dating about 8 months at the time this all took place. So it was like the Granny Hulkster gimmick wasn't even thought of then. It's like,
yes.
Okay.
Obviously, there was a mission still in front of you, and you still had a job to do. And
obviously.
Yeah. The powers of evil were outdone by the powers of good, and here you are.
Mm-hmm. And here I am still today, you know. And here I am. Here is Granny Hulkster live and living color, you know.
Damn right.
Because
that's
I always wondered what my purpose in life was, you know, and then I started helping with Wrestling for a Cause and, you know, helping with other things, and I'm like, okay, God, I get it. I see what my purpose is now, you know, why I'm still here, you know, so I see why,
well,
you know, obviously you weren't ready to take me away from this nasty world we live in, but, you know.
People laugh
like,
when
I'm thinking.
Say this. And I know it sounds funny when I say it, but it's actually something to think about. When you open up a can of Grand Biscuits, you just got this old big pile of mush, right?
Good.
I mean, it's just a pile of shit. So then you move it out on the cookie sheet. You put it in the oven for about 10 minutes at 400 degrees. And you pull them out, and you know what you got? You got some kick-ass-tasting biscuits, okay? But 10 minutes ago, they were just a pile of mush. Sometimes your mission hasn't kicked in yet. Sometimes your time has not arrived. Even though you're here, the mission, your purpose in life, has yet to engage until you hit a certain time in your life. So, yeah, no, I totally believe that. And hearing that story makes me totally believe that there was, like I said, there was somebody there trying to collect, and divine sources came through and said, uh-uh, not tonight. And you fought your way through it, and here you is, you know. But that's excellent. Good to have you aboard. I'm glad you made it, and I'm glad that mean old nurse never showed back up. That's for damn certain.
Oh, I am too. I tell you, she was pretty scary. I mean, you know, I don't scare easy, but that woman was just like, okay, that
some
woman was just evil.
Yeah. Because you're kind of vulnerable when you're in the hospital, you know, and then you get the mean nurse, you know.
Yeah.
So real quick, right before we run off, I got to tell you all about this weekend. Had an exciting weekend. Things went crazy. My Thanksgiving, first off, was spent at my folks' house. I got to meet my great niece for the first time. Got to see my niece and her husband. We had the best of times. We had so much fun that I actually stopped and got to thinking. I was like, dude, you have got to really compartmentalize this day in your head and keep it forever, because Thanksgiving was one of the best days. You know, just couldn't have been happier, couldn't have had a better day. So, as a matter of fact, I was having such a good day, I almost felt bad about it, where I was like, man, you know, there's people out there not having a good day, and here I am just, you know, living it up. But, yeah, it was fantastic. Ate like a pig, and I had absolutely no concern about it. My mom, my God, she's, what, 74 and still can cook like you would not imagine. The stuff she made was just, I just can't even describe it, just beyond awesome. And she loved doing it. I was worried she was going to work herself to death. Nah, she was right in her element. She was flat getting it. So got home Thursday night, Friday morning, got up, started heading to Myrtle Beach. Of course, it's raining. Every time I go to a con, it rains like hell for some reason. And got there to Myrtle Beach and actually hooked up with Dr. John and ran some errands, hooked up with Dr. John, had dinner with Dr. John, or had like a late lunch, went to the convention center to set up, and the table that I had was in a fantastic location. If you've ever been to a con before, you can appreciate location where they put you in your table and how they set the tables up and everything. Where I was at was right there on a corner spot on one of the main perimeter aisles. I mean, it was fantastic where I was sitting next to where I was sitting. A lot of cons will take masking tape and write your name on it and put it on the table so that way you know where you're going. So something I've already gotten the habit of doing is I check and see who my neighbors are to see if I know if you know who they are. Well, come to find out, the guy sitting to my left was none other than the Sheikster, former wrestler and artist. And you guys seen the Jacksonville Comic Con ad that I've put on Facebook with the Joker, the caricature of the Joker smoking a cigarette. That's the Sheikster. That's his art. So,
oh, wow.
I was able to sit next to him and found out he's one hell of a good guy. Amazing gentleman. Me and him hit it right off. So anyhow, there's a handful of us who went to dinner that night, and I went to dinner with Matthew Atchley, who's an artist and an actor, great guy. Went with David Sorensen, who's also a longtime artist, fantastic dude. Also, Jeremy Palko from The Walking Dead, broke bread with him that evening. And then I sat next to a gentleman named Charles Moisson that I had never met, never heard of him. How he got by me is beyond me. Well, me and him just happened to start shooting the breeze, and we hit it off. You know how sometimes you just click with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
So the next day of the show, things were a little slow at the show. I mean, it was Black Friday weekend. The South Carolina Gamecocks and the Clemson Tigers game was on, so there was a lot of things that was kind of keeping the traffic to a minimum. But it gave us plenty of time to, get in there, chew the fat amongst each other and everything. So I was sitting across from Jeremy Palko and Matthew Atchley, and then, of course, I had Sheikster and David Sorensen to my left. So we had a nifty little group right there, and we were all kind of working off of one another, helping one another out. Then it had the Boyd brothers a little further down, our YouTube guys. So Tom O'Connell, the gentleman who played Darth Vader or at least ways wore the suit and did the stunt parts for Darth Vader in the recent Kenobi series, was there and found out that he ain't nothing but a cut-up. And I went over there and talked to him. I was making a round, and I stopped and talked to him for a minute. And he had on his phone, his wife had a mouse in the house, and she couldn't. She called Tom up to ask him how to get the mouse out of there. So we sat there and watched her chase this mouse. And she's screaming and chasing it with a broom, and all he's doing is just laughing like hell. He's not helping at all. Turned out to be one heck of a good guy. So now I have a gentleman who played Darth Vader autograph hanging on my wall of fame. I've been needing Darth Vader on my wall of fame forever. Finally got it. But, you know, talked to him about wearing the suit and all this kind of stuff. And very, very down-to-earth, cool guy. So the next day he comes by the table and he said, hey, man, I wanted to come see you. He said, because me and him were opposite corners. You couldn't get free. I mean, if he was like, I was go to jail, and he was like Park Place, or not Park Place, but free parking. We were that the opposite corners of one another. And he come around the table, and there was a fella at my table there talking to me. So when Tom come up, he goes, hey, man, real quick, I had to come pay you a visit because you come see me yesterday, so I figured I'd better come see you today. So I shook his hand, right, and I looked at the guy I was talking to. I said, it's not every day you shake hands with Darth Vader, you know. And Tom started laughing. I says, truth be told, I'm just worried he's going to force choke me, so I'm testing his grip, you know. So we all got a big laugh. But he was a fantastic guy. If you get a chance to meet him, do so. And then, of course, our good brother Rob was there. Stro was there. And gracing us with his presence, along with Dr. John, he was there. And to Charles Moisson, he had approached me. He writes kind of old school, I don't know if you remember the comic books back in the 60s and 70s that are kind of like, not Tales to Astonish, but that kind of stuff, you know, like, you know, the Boogeyman from Planet X-12 or that kind of stuff. He does that kind of stuff, kind of like the retro Jack Kirby type of style of comic that I love. And it's all horror, spy-based stuff. So he flags me down. He says, hey. He says, I did a little research on you last night. And I'm like, uh-oh. He says, yeah, I read up on your books and everything. He says, I've got an idea, but I can't write. I says, well, what's up? So he's got an idea for the next issue of his comic book, what he wants to do. He's got the idea. He's given me the idea and everything. And he gave me a book that he co-wrote on how to write comic book scripts, which are totally different than writing screenplays or novels. I mean, it is a totally different thing, almost mind-numbingly different. And he gave me the book. He says, man, if you don't mind, read this book, figure out how to do it, and I want you to take this idea, and I want you to write. I want to get this book out. I want to do this book so bad, but I can't write. So you write it. I draw it. We put it out. So,
wow.
Yeah, it looks like I'll be knock on wood. I've learned not to get excited about things, but wouldn't it be cool if I can add, if I could find my name on the front of a comic book? I mean, that would be, again, go back in time to the 10-year-old kid reading comic books in his bedroom and say, hey, dude, fly straight. Don't get in no trouble. And you're going to be writing one of these damn things one day. So, yeah, it was a fantastic, great weekend, almost to a point where I felt guilty about having such a great weekend and a very productive one. So I want to thank Brad and John Miller, of course, for their efforts putting that show on. And, of course, I've spoken their names here on the show plenty of times, promoting the shows and everything. And I really, really, really want to thank them for another job well done and everything they put into it. So, yeah, it was awesome. Had a great time. So with all that, we're getting close to extra innings, so I'm going to kick it around the room real quick, like, to everybody for the parting shots. So, Granny, would you like to lead off this evening?
Well, sure. I really don't have much going on. I've got some wrestling shows coming up, and got one this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to this weekend, but next weekend we've got Wrestling for a Cause. It's our Christmas show. And I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and, you know, just love each other, you know, help each other out, help somebody out, help a friend out, you know. And when you were talking about Darth Vader today, it made me think this one couple that came at the very end of the Christmas store shopping. They had two little dachshunds, and the little dogs are brothers, and I actually went out to see them, and because they take them with them wherever they go, and one was kind of a reddish-brown color, and the other one was a black and tan color, and they called them their Star Wars dogs, because the little brownish-red one, his name is Hans, and Obi is the little black and tan one. And Obi was the smaller one, but they're brothers. They were from the same litter. And when you were trying to pet one of them, like I was trying to pet Obi, and there's Hans pushing Obi out of the way to try to get all the attention. But they were the sweetest little dogs. I mean, you know, they were just so sweet. And, of course, I was talking to Anthony on, you know, FaceTiming with Anthony on the phone, and he was holding Mysterio. And, of course, Mysterio saw Grandma petting those strange doggies, and Mysterio was – he wasn't really growling, Anthony said. He was just kind of grumbly. But, I did take Anthony somewhere this afternoon when I got back into town and everything, and I got doggy kisses from Mysterio, so apparently Mysterio wasn't too mad at Grandma. You know, after all, petting the strange dogs, you know, Grandma, you can't do that. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you're only supposed to pet me. And but anyways, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week, and just, you know, before we know it, it's going to be Christmas, and, you know, and I just hope that everybody has a wonderful holiday season with their friends and families, and, you know, just, you know, love everybody, and, you know, just everybody have a great rest of the week.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate you joining us this evening. It's good to have everybody together tonight. Like I said, we played hooky last week just because we all had full plates. No pun intended. Thank you. Definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Got to get little food jokes in there when you can. Little dad joke action.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, Tim, what kind of parting shots do you have, young man?
Boy, I don't have much to say. Just everybody watch out for yourselves. Watch out for your cornhole. That flu will get you. I hope everybody enjoys the rest of the week. We are in that wonderful stretch. you know, I actually kind of wanted to say on a little bit of a serious note, just that not necessarily anything going on here locally, but a lot of times, especially when I was sick over the weekend, I had a lot of time just, you got to do some weird thinking, you know. Some things kind of get you down when they really shouldn't. Some things, you know, I don't know, it's tough to explain, but I figured I would throw out there you know, just watch out for one another, because we're now in that time of year where there's actually a lot of people that this time of year really sucks. And there's a lot of people, this is, it's a bad time for them. And they, you know, they might just kind of hide and shelter around and try to not bring much attention to them. But, you know, it's always good to just check up on one another and be there, not necessarily have to be all Christmassy and cheery about it, you know, because that's kind of
the last thing some people may want to see. But, you know, obviously enjoy the holidays. Everybody should. But I just, you know, as I kind of keep my eyes open, I take note of, you know, people I see at work, people I see out and about. And I can just tell and I feel for people, you know. So anyway, just look out for one another and take care of each other. And everyone have a great week.
Yeah, the holidays are a rough. The holidays are a rough time for people that especially deal with mental illnesses. I mean, really check on those people. You know, if you're struggling, reach out to somebody because you're not alone. I mean, you know, everybody knows about Jason David Frank, the actor that played the Green and White Ranger, you know, in the Power Rangers, Jason David Frank. I mean, my son was just crushed when that happened because he grew up watching Power Rangers and he still likes the Power Rangers. And he took that really hard when it was posted about Jason David Frank's passing away. So, you know, it's a rough time. I mean, you know, holidays are hard on people, you know. And so if you're struggling, people, reach out to somebody, you know. You don't have to fight this battle alone, you know, and experience because, you know, my son deals with mental illness. And so, you know, the holidays are rough for him sometimes too. So just if you're struggling, reach out to somebody. Reach out for some help. I've lost a lot of good friends this past year that have dealt with mental illnesses, and it's not a happy time. And it's tough, you know, and that's one thing I was concerned about my son is, you know, is he ever going to get to that point where he's going to deal with that difficultiness and feel like that he doesn't matter. And that's what I can say about my wrestling family, that they always, always, always make Anthony feel like he's very important and that he always matters. And that's why I'm so blessed to be able to call them my family, because they always, they all mean the world to Anthony and to David and I. And that's why I'm so thankful for each and every one of them.
Yeah, it's not about blood. It's about heart. And, yeah, most definitely. I mean, God, excuse me. There's a reason why Elvis sang Blue Christmas. You know what I mean? I say that in jest, but if you really break that song down, it is a tough time. So, you know, to Tim's point, you know, cut folks some slack because you don't know, you know, these folks that are, you know, working at the stores and at the restaurants and everything, you know, ease off the gas a little bit, give them a little room to breathe because there's a lot going on. And again, as you know, Granny alluded to, you don't know what folks are up against on the outside. So, yeah, just try to be a human for the next 30 days, please. Next 30 days, we can do it. Then you can be an asshole for the other 335 of them. How's that? So real quick for me, my parting shots, and Tim, by the way, it's great having you aboard. I hope you get to feeling better and pass the same thought on to the crowd over there. And
thank you, sir.
Yeah, hope the recovery continues and continues faster. For me, I this time of year is always heavy duty. It's one of my favorite times of year. And everybody goes, oh, you love Christmas. Now it's got nothing to do with Christmas. It's because November 17th, my lovely wife and I celebrate our anniversary. Then we have Thanksgiving. Then November 27th, this past 27th, Misty, our Mastiff, celebrated her 7th birthday. So everybody had a big ice cream party here, Frosty Paws and all that good stuff. And then tomorrow, December 1st, we celebrate our Sadie, who was our first rescue doggy that Dale brought home. We celebrate her birthday and / gotcha day on December 1st. So tomorrow she will be 6 years old and let's see, four years. 4 years living in Atwell residence, and she is my shadow. I love my Sadie Bug to death. So we'll be having
happy birthday to your fur babies.
Damn right. We'll be having another ice cream party on her behalf tomorrow evening, a bunch of ice cream. And then December 3rd, and, you know, like I said, I squish it all up in a two-week period here. My lovely wife, Dale, and my son, Rob, December 3rd, will be celebrating their birthdays. And by God, it is on Saturday, and I think we're going to have a damn raging ass party here at the house, just three of us and the faux dogs, and party our asses off. Because
happy
I said
birthday
so.
To Dale and Rob. So,
absolutely.
And we need to send out good we need to send out good vibes to our dear sweet friend Velvet Dave. I mean, you know, God love him. I mean,
you were reading my mind. That was the next one I was going to hit on. Velvet, if you're listening, brother, I know you spoke to us before the show. Man, just keep fighting the good fight. We're always thinking about you. You never leave our minds, and keep getting it, dude. You got this, and can't wait for you to come on back and join us here and cut up like you always do. So I know you. We all know here that you're fighting a tough battle, but we also know that
you're
don't
gonna
take
win
shit off
that
no
battle, Velvet. You're going to
yep.
win that battle.
So you got this. Easy. So, other than that, a quick thank you to everybody. On a personal note, the Etsy store that I have, I have a call it Etsy channel. It's not an Etsy channel. It's an Etsy store. I had my most successful month this past month, and I actually have people emailing me, asking me to do stuff for them, how they've heard through this guy, that guy, or, you know, us, you know, hey, my sister saw your stuff, and, you know, I got on here, and right now I'm currently doing some Jurassic Park stuff for a lady and her two nephews, who apparently have had a kind of a bumpy road, and they're moving into their aunt's house with their mom, and they're going to decorate both of those gentlemen's rooms with Lego stuff, and one of them likes Lego Jurassic Park, and the other one likes the Ninjago, so I'm putting together some stuff for them. But, yeah, it really does my heart good, and I'm one of these guys that always beat myself up when it comes down to my work. I always feel like my work is not quality. I always feel like people do better than me all the time, and to have that amount of success and the compliments and all kinds of nifty stuff that I have encountered through doing that, I really appreciate everybody's support on that. And makes old man feel good. Makes me, gives me a little bit of mojo getting up in the morning. So I really appreciate that. And upcoming, real quick, some dates. We got December 10th, Lion Eyes Games Pop Swap. Then we go to Bear's Den in Havelock for a pop swap. Then we go to the 28th of January. I know I'm shooting far ahead for another pop swap in Moorhead City, and then, of course, the Jacksonville Comic-Con on February 18th. And, by God, if it's anything like the Havelock show that John threw last week, we are going to totally demolish it. So appreciate everybody's support. And as my two colleagues touched on, man, just try to maintain, try to be patient, try to give people a little bit of room. And, you know, when we say be kind, doesn't mean you need to empty your 401k to somebody. What it means is hold the door open for somebody. Or when you walk by somebody, you make contact, you say, hey, how's it going? It's the little things you do. It's letting somebody use your pen at the post office. It's, you know, letting somebody in traffic that just makes things better. And I think if more people took the time to do those one second moment of random act of kindness, I think this world would repair itself by accident. So, yeah, get involved, be patient, try to take care of some damn people, especially now during the holidays. So with all that being said, I am going to skip trying to fight the British lady because I can look through the back window of my house and I see my Alexa flashing a red ring, which means my internet is not running right now. If there's one good thing about having those Alexas, despite the fact they're spying on you in your house, they can tell you when your internet shit the bed and when it hasn't. So what I'm going to do is do the manual shut off by hitting the hang up button. I don't even know if the British lady talks when I do that, but nevertheless, the British lady is here with us.
I think sometimes she does. I think sometimes she does. So
she does a goodbye. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. And goodbye. Whatever. Like we say in America, whatevs. So with all that, hope everybody has a wonderful week. And we thank you again for joining us here, Pop Culture Stars. And we will talk to you next Wednesday night, 2100
Hours.
Good
night, everybody.
You guys take care. All right, here we go, British lady. And 3, 2, 1, British lady.